For our scripture, Paul read for us, "And this is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. Oh, excuse me, chapter 10. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10. Look what it says, verses 5 through 8. "And Jesus sent the 12 out, and he commanded them, saying, Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans." We'll interrupt a minute here, and we'll say, if you look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus was very clear when he said a little bit later, "And you will be my witnesses, and I will send you to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the world when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." And notice in John chapter 10, the Holy Spirit had not come upon them yet. They weren't strong enough yet and good enough, so let's just stay with Jerusalem before we go to Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the world. Let's just stay with the Jewish people for right now, okay? But notice what he told them. Verse 6, "But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And verse 7, "And as you go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." Okay, now notice again, let's add those two, three together of what we've just been talking about. "And this is life eternal." That's number one. Number two, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And freely you have received, freely give. Well, let me add another one to that one. In Genesis chapter 12, God tells a man named Abram, "I've chosen you to be the person to represent what the kingdom of God is like. I want you to be my guy. I want you and your family, including your descendants," which he didn't even have yet, "but I will bless you. And in blessing you, I want you to be a blessing to the world." And could I ask today, can we prayerfully think about, we'll go over these things over and over and over again. Be a blessing. Freely you have received, freely give. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Be a blessing. Let God bless and be a blessing. Freely you have received, freely give. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. "For by grace have you been saved through faith, as a gift of God, not of works, lest anybody should boast." If we've experienced grace, which I believe we have, to have experienced grace, freely you've received, freely give. The kingdom of heaven is at hand because Jesus is the Christ, and he can be identified. "And this is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." And could I suggest we'll go over and over and over those three issues, or four issues, as we go along. I grew up in the 1960s. 1960s into the 1970s were my growing up years. And I'd like to talk about that period a little bit. In the 1960s, from 1961 to 1975, 58,000 Americans died in a war in a place called Vietnam. 58,000 people. in a place that most of the people then couldn't find on a map. Most Americans could not find on a map, and I dare say probably today most Americans could not find on a map. Tremendous controversy over whether we should be there or shouldn't be or whatever, but 58,000, to be exact, 58,209 is the official number, people died during those years. 1968, the United States of America had massive race riots going on. 1968 were the years there were several intentional assassinations of political figures. And there were race riots in several of the major cities. The country was in massive turmoil. 1970, May the 4th, 1970, things seem to have really kind of come to a head. 1970, May the 4th, in a place in Ohio on Kent State University, four American citizens, unarmed, peacefully protesting, were shot by National Guardsmen. Four died, nine others were wounded by the country, the direction of the country, shooting unarmed citizens of our own country. The country was in a mess as far as controversy. Who's right, who's wrong, who's whatever, I'm not even going there. But that's what was going on, the tension in the 1960s. Me? I was learning to ride a school bus. I was learning to drive a tractor. I was learning to milk a cow. In my idyllic childhood in the country, and I really didn't know anything about any of the things that were going on as far as all the tensions and all that kind of stuff. I was living my idyllic little life. Unbeknownst to all that stuff that was happening somewhere and other people and whatever, my life was idyllic, while chaos was going on all around. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who thou hast sent. Preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Freely you have received, freely give. Be a blessing. 58,000 Americans dead in a war. Race riots in major cities, the power of the badge, shooting unarmed, peaceful protesters on an American university campus. Why do I mention that now? Because here we are in 2020. In 4 months, 115,000 Americans have died from COVID-19. Within the last month, all of the world has been able to watch a video of 8 minutes and 46 seconds of a man with the power of the badge holding down an unarmed, helpless man and snuffing the life out of him. Somebody he considered less than, with the power of the badge. From that, here we are with many people upset. Many people, it struck a nerve with a group of people that feel less than because of the power of the badge and the indifference of the majority. Wow. Oh. And the American stock market is back near its almost near its all-time high. In other words, while all this chaos is going on, some people are making money just fine, indifferent to what all is going on. 100,000 plus deaths by a virus in 4 months. The power of the state used against somebody who feels less than. The reaction of a hurting people. And Wall Street is settling along just fine. Kind of like me in the 60s as a little boy, indifferent to what's going on around. Wow. To a nation called to be a blessing. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. He has called you, O man, shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Now remember again, Micah chapter 6, 8 was written specifically to a people that God had said, you are to be a blessing. So Micah 6, 8 is God specifically saying, here is how to be a blessing. Do justly. Live justice. Love mercy. Be merciful. Walk humbly with your God. Can we say it again? And this is life eternal. Preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Freely you have received, freely give. Be a blessing. I never would have believed it. On May the 4th, I participated in a priest rally. The ministers of the Northern New England Conference talking together on a conference phone, with all the chaos that was going on and all the hurting that was going on, our conference leadership said, why don't we do a peace march and show that we are in unity here together? And so you had a bunch of ministers and other members of the Southern New England Conference came together that day with all our masks and everything to be safe and to practice social distancing. But we marched from Lancaster Courthouse down to the conference office building May the 4th. I don't think any of us knew at the time. I didn't know it until I got doing a little digging and looking things over. When we were standing at the little platform in front of the conference office on May the 4th, we were almost to the moment the 50th anniversary of the shooting of unarmed people at Kent State University. I didn't put that together until long after writing up and whatabouts and, But in that rally, I was participated in this thing 50 years to the day after the massacre. I guess the more things change, the more they stay the same. Conference asked us, and I was happy to go and do it. To be a part of. At the event, I was almost in tears. One of my friends, not just a colleague, but one of my friends. Now understand, he's a guy he's a little bigger than I am, so he's not a small guy. Very dark complected. And he stood up there and he said something that had me almost in tears. As he talked about what it is like, the experiences he has had of seeing things that happen to people who look like him and feeling and experiences that could be, him. And talking about going and being rousted and being pulled over on his, just going from work to school or back and forth. Now, again, a minister. A guy who makes his living with his Bible. Getting pulled over for nothing events and told, well, I think maybe you had a tail light out. Nothing. And being afraid that he would be shot. Terror at seeing the blue lights. He talks about his son being a teenager and having to tell his son, be really careful because, and being afraid when his son leaves the house. I had another friend talk about being frustrated, humiliated when he goes into a store and people are watching him closely to make sure he doesn't steal anything. Just because of the way he looks. And yes, sadly, I've heard different members of this congregation, friends that I love dearly, express some of those same sentiments. Me? I'm a white kid from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. I don't like being pulled over by cops either. And I tell my kids, don't do anything rash to scare a police officer. But I've never particularly felt afraid. So that was painful to hear from my friends. This is 2020. This is not the 1960s. It seems like we should be more enlightened, more of an enlightened civilization than 50 years ago. The more things change, the more they seem to stay the same. But this is not okay. We need to adjust. We must. And this is life eternal. Preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Freely you have received, freely give. Be a blessing. Let those things be seen in do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with thy God. We've got to do better. We must. This is not okay. And yet, having said all these things and talked about all these painful issues, and no, I don't want to make any excuses for anything. I've got to stand with my friend, the one that is afraid. I've got to stand for him. I've got to stand with him. I've got to stand beside him. And frankly, I must look into my soul and ask God to take away any silent bigotry or anything that is within my nature that has me think of somebody else as less than. Whether it's because of their look or what they wear or whatever, anything that I look at somebody as less than is not okay. And it does not represent the character of God. And I must be asking God, come on, Help me with this. Because it is not okay, and it is not God's plan. Christians believe we are equal at the foot of the cross in Jesus Christ. Christians encourage everybody to come and kneel at the foot of the cross with us. And we don't believe some of us get to kneel on a step a little higher than somebody else because somebody else is less than. That's not the God we represent. Let me restate that. That's not the God I want to represent. And I sure hope I don't represent him as being looking at other people as less than. Because if I am, I'm not representing him right. And yet, may I pivot? Not to say use excuses. This is not okay. And not to make excuses. I don't mean this in terms of ifs. I don't mean this in terms of buts. I don't mean this in terms of ands. I don't mean this in terms of excuses. Yet, can I say, can I pivot? I am not a historian. So I don't say these things about what has happened in the past in the name of being a historian. I'm not one. I am not a sociologist. I don't talk about these things in society from the standpoint of society. I'm not a sociologist. What I am is a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. Trying to act like a Seventh-day Adventist Christian who believes in how would Jesus act and portray? And how does he ask us to portray him? And this is life eternal. Preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Freely you've received, freely give. Be a blessing. We got to do better. And yet, may I pivot? Would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 51 and onward. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And again, I don't say this is an excuse, and I don't say this as to say, don't worry about it until the second coming of Jesus, but I do say, as a Seventh-day Adventist Christian who believes in Jesus Christ and believe Jesus Christ can transform people, I don't believe we will fix human nature and many of humanity's problems short of Jesus Christ remaking us from the inside out. We must be changed. It's interesting. There are people that look at the Bible and get mad at Jesus. They say if he was really this leader that he claimed to be, why didn't he try to fix relations between women and men and the problems that women had? Do women get treated at times like second-class citizens in our day? Oh, yes. Did they in Jesus' day? Oh, my, yes. And yet that was not Jesus' focus, because what Jesus' focus was on was something that was bigger, that could handle all of life's problems, not that one. There are others that say, how dare Jesus be this leader when he didn't do anything about the slavery issue? Were there slaves in Jesus' day? Oh, yes, there were. Jesus said very clearly, "My kingdom is not of this world." It made people mad in his day, and I know of people that say, "I can't take that gospel and that Bible because it didn't deal with those issues today." I know of people that don't like the Apostle Paul much for the same reasons. I've read, I'd encourage you, get the little book. It was written in 1896. It's a little bit outdated in some of the things that it was talking about. It's called In His Steps. Started a whole movement on what would Jesus do. A movement that kind of revigorated itself in the 1990s about what would Jesus do. And there were people, the young people wearing bracelets and stuff. What would Jesus do? Its whole focus was, if people would do what Jesus would do, and they would ask, what would Jesus do about the things that they would do? We could stop poverty. We could destroy the saloons. And we can bring about the second coming, or the millennium, and the world of peace and perfection. Folks, I personally, by the way, it was a complete failure. The social gospel has been a complete failure, just like every other attempt to fix the world in our human standards has been a complete failure. Funny thing, you get rid of all the saloons and people go to other drugs. Funny how that works. You say, don't treat this person like somebody less than, and you go find somebody else to treat like a less than. What is it about us humans that we like to be able to have somebody to call less than? Guess I'd say it this way. I don't think we'll ever... Well, it's in Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. What's it say? Revelation 21 and verse 4. God will wipe away every tear from their eye. And there will be no more death, and there will be no more sorrow, and there will be no more crying, and there shall be no more pain, for the former things have been passed away. I don't know about the rest of you, but to me, I think until Jesus takes away death and pain and sorrow, there's going to be tears. To try to fix those things in our human nature, the disease of sin is so deeply embedded in our human nature that the only way to get it out is to have it eradicated when God remakes the universe. Which brings me to our message. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Our message is the ultimate solution to racism, is the solution to all sin. What is that solution? Many attempts have been made to root out racism and poverty and all other isms, and they have all failed through the years. The roots of sin are too deeply embedded in our human DNA for us to fix through human development. That is why I am a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. I believe the only problem to death and to sorrow, to crying, to pain, is the restoration that only comes through the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, who is the Christ, coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I'm proud to say, as a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, that's our message. What is our message? Where did we get the name from? We believe Seventh Day, which is a focus to the law of God. Would the world be a lot better place if we all followed the law of God? Oh, yeah. Adventists point out the whole business of following what God would have us to say, not just one. A friend of mine used an expression that I would say would go well that we ought to remember for the things in the discussion today. Okay? And it goes like this. Put your hands out in front of you if you would. How many fingers? Now, it's not a trick question. Count these things as fingers too, okay? So it's not a trick question to get in an argument about how many. Okay? But get it. How many there? Wiggle them. How many? Most of us have 10, okay? Now, do you really want to get into an argument about which one is the least important? Okay? You got them all out here wiggling. Somebody starts talking about which one's the least important. Do you want to have it cut off? No, that would hurt. Could I maybe go along without one of them? Yeah. Do I want to? Not really. That would hurt, and I would probably find I use it more than I think I do. Leave them all alone. Okay, now, back to the 10 fingers again. How many of them here? Got a bunch of them here. Anybody ever worked in the kitchen? Anybody ever worked in the kitchen with one of those things that can be a little... a knife. My wife knows, don't hand me a knife to do things in the kitchen. I can do stirring and this kind of stuff, but you hand me a knife to do something in kitchen, before you know it, there's going to end up being more protein in the salad or whatever it is to work with. I'm just not very good with a knife. I can cut things more than what I'm supposed to cut. Now, you're in the kitchen, you got all these things here, you're working away, and you got how many fingers again? And you get one of them with a knife. Now, here's the difficult question. Which one of them should you put the Band-Aid on? Probably the one that was cut, right? Wouldn't that make the most sense? Seventh-day Adventists know that all the fingers have been cut, but which is the one that has taken the biggest hit? And that's why we call ourselves Seventh-day Adventists. We focus on all of them, but we say, let's put the Band-Aid on the one that's cut. What does that have to do with anything? Can I make a point that came to me the hard way at the rally? And I went, ah, that's easy. I get it now. Hadn't gotten it until then. That march, that peace rally, when my friend was talking, ah, I get it now. Okay? Do we really want to get into a situation as a society where we say, oh, one group of us, we can cut off one of the fingers and it won't hurt too bad? No. On the other hand, if we've got all these fingers and one of them is cut, which one should we put the Band-Aid on? And could I suggest that's all Black Lives Matter is supposed to be saying? Why don't we put the Band-Aid on the part of our society that has been felt less than because of indifference of other people? Why don't we put the Band-Aid there? That doesn't mean the other fingers don't count too. It means if you got a finger that's cut, why don't you put the Band-Aid on it? That's all it means. It doesn't mean other lives don't matter too. It means put the Band-Aid on the finger that's cut. And yet I come back to Seventh-day Adventists believe all this about life would be a better place following what God would have us to do. But in our humanness, that ain't going to fix it. We believe in the advent, the coming, the second coming of Jesus Christ. The only solution to this world's problems is Jesus coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to do away with crying and death and sorrow and pain. And only he can do it. And that's our message. But our message is good news. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. If I leave, I am going to come back and I am going to take you, because I'm preparing a place for you, and I've got a place for you. And it's not just about a place, and it's not just about land, but it is about, ah, and we can trust each other and be happy with each other and enjoy each other, because we won't have that sin thing inside of us that keeps wanting to say somebody else is less than, that makes it unsafe for other people to be around. No, Jesus is going to fix that. Good news 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 19. Good news. I don't need you to sorrow like other people who have no hope, because Jesus can make it right. No, that is not saying it's okay to have somebody considered less than. No, I'm not making excuses. Do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with our God. That is the solution to our ills that keep reeking. We think we've got these isms taken care of, or we're going to get them taken care of, and they keep rearing their ugly head again, because the problem is in here, not you guys out there. And this is life eternal. Preach the kingdom of God is at hand. Freely you have received, freely give. In 20 years ago, I was in a church. And in that church family, we had in the not very far from there, down by the coast, there a bad hurricane had come. And when the bad hurricane came up, it basically wiped out half of the state where we were in. And things were shut down, and power lines were tangled and snarled, and people were, their houses weren't safe to live in, and it was a mess. And one of the things that happened, you might be in joy to know, as Seventh-day Adventists, when the Red Cross comes in, the Seventh-day Adventists are in the middle of it. And the Seventh-day Adventist group has made a merger agreement with all these other fancy groups about how to go in and help someplace, and Adventist Community Services is going to be right in the middle of it, and the Adventists are trained and do training on warehousing. That is to say, in this case, when half of the state was wiped out, places from all over the place are putting things on trucks and sending things, and it's going to be the Adventists that are in charge of taking care of getting those supplies there and then getting them handed out to the people. The Baptists take care of the food and the, you know, because they'll bring trucks in that can feed people, and they bring shower trucks in. There's a whole team effort. I don't remember what all the different groups do, but the Adventist situation is warehousing. And our church, we weren't in the middle of this problem, but we had the facilities at our church that, and we were far enough away, we still had our electricity, everything was working fine in our city, we didn't get blown off the map. And we got a call at church from Adventist Community Services, and they said, can we put the person that's in charge of the warehousing for this thing, can we put them in your church to be the command center for this guy to work from? They set up like four or five phone banks in our church, and they had this guy set up here in this room, because we had the facility to put him there. And so he came, and he was a director of this stuff. Okay, so he's on the phone all the time and texting and doing, you know, he wasn't texting, it was before that. But he's doing all this stuff trying to keep track of. That's all he was doing, was checking. He was brought in, flown in, stays at our church, running these phone banks and all this kind of stuff madly, and I'm going crazy. Man, there's houses that have trees on them, there's just all sorts of things. And I was talking to the head elder. Now, the head elder of our church is an interesting guy. He was retired from the police department, I mean the fire department. He had started in the fire department 40 years earlier, and he had just, you know, at the bottom and worked his way up. He had worked his way up to being the assistant police chief of the whole of the major city that we lived in. He knew how policing. He knew firework. He knew how to do it. And I was going crazy. He and I were sitting there with this guy who's taken over our area that's running this, and I'm saying, come on, I got a chainsaw, let's just get a pickup truck and a bunch of people, and let's go find them and start cutting down some trees. And he says, oh, no, you don't. I said, what? Our job is warehousing. There's other people that are set to do the other jobs. In the fire department, the guy driving the, or the man or woman that is driving the truck and is taking care of the truck, never leaves the truck. Somebody might scream, somebody, there's an accident, somebody has fallen in over there, that person never leaves the truck. They take care of the equipment. They make sure the truck is running right. They take care of the truck. That's all they do. You never leave the truck or bad things can happen. Do your job. I said, come on, let's I got a pickup. I got a chainsaw. Let's go now. No. This man's job is to run the warehousing. He's in our facility. You and me, we are the ones to help him, facilitate him doing his job. You know what that means? My buddy said, I am going to get his coffee. You are standing at the door, and you are going to keep other people that want to come in and talk to him from being able to do that. You are going to make his copies and do the things. You are going to do the rudimentary, boring things here, making sure he can do the more important job to get the trucks where they need to go, to do what they need to do, or we will have a big snarl. You keep that chainsaw at home and do your job. He was right. Our message is the solution to the world's problems, is the second coming of Jesus. There is a God in heaven who has created and has promised a recreator and is going to do. That's our message. Be a blessing. Freely you have received, freely give. Preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Folks, if we get all of race relations taken care of perfectly, and I don't think we will, but if we do, it will not bring back George Floyd, and that isn't fair. If from all wars we would get everything fixed up so that there was never another war, praise God, I don't think it will happen, but even if it did, it does not bring back 58,000 people who died in Vietnam. You say, well, that was a long time ago. Most of them would be dead now anyway. Fine, but they didn't have the chance to live a decent life, and that's not fair. And regardless what gets fixed or doesn't, you're not bringing George Floyd back to his daughter. The solution to this world's ills is there is a Savior. That's our message. The only solution is the world needs to be remade. The universe needs to be remade. The message for the people in a world that has gone crazy with frustration and hurt and anger, much of it deserved, is there is one coming. And all tears will be dried when there is no more sorrow and no more pain and no more death. I need to be remade from the inside out. I don't like having to admit that, but it's a fact. It's not okay until then for me to act inappropriately toward other people because I think I'm more important or they are less than. It's not okay. But we as people need an attitude adjustment that only the God of heaven can be trusted to make happen in a fair way. Our message is the meek shall inherit the earth. Right now, the meek do not have the world, and I doubt if they would want it the way it is right now. But God has promised good news. As the old spiritual goes, good news, chariots are coming. Good news, chariots are coming. There is a God in heaven, and this is life eternal. Preach the kingdom of God
is at hand because Jesus has come. Freely we have received grace to have hope for a future. It is only in Jesus Christ. Be a blessing. May we, the world has gone crazy. The world has stopped. The world is trying to get going again, and oh boy, the fits and starts and the problems and the hurts and the heartaches. The world needs to see, be a blessing out in the streets, not just in the church. Because we have received grace. Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Because this is life eternal and nothing else. To trust Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. Heavenly Father, we've experienced grace, and we're so grateful. And we mess it up so much. And we treat each other so badly. Dear God, would You use us to be a blessing even in spite of ourselves? Dear God, would You help us to hurt with those who hurt? But would You help us not to wallow in it, but to be reminded of better things coming because of whom we believe? And it is our prayer, soon, very soon, come, Lord Jesus. And we thank You, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we bring it to a close, we remind you, 2 weeks from today, we'll encourage you to come on and be here together. As long as we do follow the social distancing issues and wear the mask and do all the things, really, even that week, Sabbath school will still happen in the Zoom. It won't be here. We'll just be the 1 hour being here. But we invite those that feel safe and that feel they can to come. We've been promised that even that week, as we carry on, the good people that have been working hard to send this to you via the Facebook page will still be doing that. So if you're saying, no, I'm not sure I'm ready to come, even if the church does, you still can stay right in your home and see it the same way. But we will encourage those that feel up to it, those that feel they can, those that feel safe. 2 weeks from today, we hope to be getting back in business and to be praying about how to get back in business more and more and more as time goes along, okay? So until then, be safe. Be praying that this thing continues to get better. And we look forward to being face-to-face as soon as we can. Happy Sabbath, everybody.